Greetings to all of you, in Jesus' name. What a blessing again to be here. Be here to worship with other believers. Be here to praise God for what He has done, what He's doing in our hearts. And as Brother Dwayne mentioned about this being the first Sunday of the new year, and that is significant as we think about God's faithfulness, His mercy, bringing us to another year. My thoughts this morning are somewhat along that line of the new year. I've given the title to the sermon this morning is Carrying the Glory in 2019. And my thoughts in thinking about this, I reveal some of my own tendencies, maybe, to you. But maybe, you know, some of you may identify with it, and some of you may not. And some of them are just simply general observations of our society. I guess I was thinking about the post-holiday blues, maybe you could say. Thinking about the holiday season that we've come through, Christmas and New Year's, New Year's Day, and even you go back as far as Thanksgiving. You know, I remember as a boy, you know, from Thanksgiving on, it was good times. You know, there was a lot of things to look forward to, a lot of family gatherings and Thanksgiving dinners and Christmas dinners and other exciting things that went along with that. And then after that was passed, now we're just into winter, you know, we're just in January. And I was thinking about that again this week and enjoyed our trip to Illinois to be with the Allgaiers. It was New Year's Day, we were together. I was blessed again to be with our family but then it's, you know, it's back to regular life, back to school, back to the grind, if you will, the same old grind, back to work. In the retail world, it's back to the hoping the customers come in the door. Often, with the, I guess it's the excitement and the busyness of December, then in January there's often sickness. Just often it is that way, whether it's the whether it's the weather of January or the up and downs, you know, the cold and the warm spells. But that can bring a stress to families, especially. And we experienced some of that this week. Thankfully, the Lord's been faithful in providing healing. Thankful for that this morning. So I don't know if you deal with the post-holiday blues or not, if you know what I'm talking about this morning. It's not a thing that would be abnormal if you have a sense of anticipation reached, and now there's nothing new to look forward to. But we know that for the Christian, that is not the case. We don't live for Christmas morning. We don't live for New Year's Eve. We don't live for Thanksgiving dinner. But we live for the Lord every day. And so, while our emotional being will have the highs and lows, there is always something to look forward to yet. There is always an anticipation. First of all, there's an anticipation of Jesus coming that the Christian looks forward to, that hope of the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as I thought about this, there's two pieces of poetry that have been put to song, have been put to music that capture my thoughts, and I will share a bit of both of them this morning. The one, I don't know what the title of it is, or who the author is, or where to find it. I could not discover it. If someone can help me, I would be happy to know that. And as I thought about this, these pieces of poetry focus on the shepherds that were in Bethlehem's field that night when the angel came and heard the message, and the shepherds that went to Bethlehem to find Jesus, to find the baby in the manger. And so, the shepherds had to leave Mary and Joseph and the baby. They had to leave them so they could tell other people about what they had found, who they had found, so they could tell other people about the experience that they had in the field. But then they had to leave those people as well. And they had to go back to the flocks. And so the lines of the poet go like this: back to your flocks, O shepherds. Back to the field and the sky. Back to the lonely watches. Back to the duties of life. Shepherds were common folks. They did not have any titles. They did not have any positions in government that we know of. But they were common people. I think they're pretty much like you and I. Like you and me. They were going about their daily life, watching their flocks by night. That's what shepherds needed to do. And you can turn to Luke 2. Here's what happened to these people that were just going about daily life. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Were they anticipating such an event in their lives? I don't think so. We have no indication that they were. Were they looking for the Messiah? Did they know about the promise? Did they know the prophecies in Isaiah? Perhaps. No doubt they did. It seems like they must have, because in verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass." From that phrase, "which is come to pass," it seems like they connected with the prophecies of the Messiah. And maybe not. But Luke was very particular in how he worded this. At any rate, I like to think of it that they did, because I think it's a lesson for you and for me of that constant expectation and anticipation of what is to come. That looking forward to eternal life with Jesus Christ. Looking forward to Jesus coming. Going about our daily lives. Watching our flocks by night. Like the shepherds. Whatever your flock might be. But this experience that the shepherds have was a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Actually, it was more like a once in time, never to happen again experience. What they saw and what they heard. It must have been a life-changing event for them. Adrenaline spike. They were sore afraid. They were sore afraid. And the angel said, "Fear not." And the poet Clyde Hollinger, I think, captures this. As the shepherds experienced this, the angel's message, the multitudes praising God. And it says, as in verse 15, the angels are gone away into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us go now." And he puts it this way in his poem called "Shepherds Hurry." "Shepherds, O shepherds, hurry, come, hurry. Those were God's angels that were in the skies. What was the message? Bethlehem, is it? We were afraid. We couldn't believe our eyes. What a host of angels. What a night of glory. God has made known to us this great wonder." Those words capture that emotion, the emotional high that they must have experienced, and the anticipation of, really, this is, God's made known to us this about the Messiah, Christ the Lord. And they said, let's go to Bethlehem. So there was this wild excitement in the middle of the night, and they left their flocks. They came with haste. Not necessarily a smart, sheep-wise move to leave their flocks in the middle of the night. They did that because there was something more important than the sheep right then. And they found the babe. They found him. "Shepherds, O shepherds, hurry, come hurry. We can go quickly. This old path is wide. Is this the stable? There is a light now. It is still night now. Come, let's go inside. All the cows are sleeping. lying in their manger is the Son of Heaven, wrapped in soft clothes. And we know that they found him. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Paul continues, child so lowly, king of all, Christ the Lord lies in a stall. Could no house be found for him? Was there no corner in the inn? Well, we don't know if those are questions that came to their minds or not, but it certainly seems logical what they must have thought as they experienced this. And they came there and they found Joseph, Mary, and the babe lying in a manger. And verse 17, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And the poet continues, everyone, listen, here is the Savior. Christ is now with us, lying in the stall. Go tell your father, go tell your mother, go tell your brother, sister, neighbors, all. What a host of angels. What a night of glory. God has made known to us this great wonder. And so they did. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The poet continues, back to our sheepfold, back to our pasture, back to our sheep that we have left behind. But in their hearts, they carried the glory. They carried the glory. Like, think about what they had seen and what they had heard. In the fields by night, what had they actually seen? Well, we know when we look at Luke 2, which we read, they had seen the angel of the Lord. They had seen the glory of the Lord. It shone round about them. Must have just, you know how it is when you've been outside and your eyes have adjusted to the darkness and you can see pretty well. And suddenly there's this blinding light that hits you right in the face. And you can't see anything except this light. It must have been magnified many times for the shepherds. They had seen a multitude of the heavenly hosts. And that phrase gives us the word picture of an army. An army of the troops of heaven, it was, someone put it that way. A heavenly knighthood. They had seen this army praising God in the night sky. First the angel of the Lord, and then this heavenly host praising God. What a night of glory. What a host of angels. And then they had seen them go away into heaven. No doubt. No doubt they understood that they were God's angels. The poet brings that out. He said, those were God's angels. That's what we saw. God's angels that were in the sky. That's what they saw in the field. What did they see in Bethlehem by night? Because this was at nighttime. They went to Bethlehem. They went in haste, we know that. But what did they see? Now, verse 16 gives us the answer. They saw Mary, the espoused virgin mother of the house of David. She was of the house of David. Luke 1 makes that clear. They saw Joseph, a just man of the house of David. Matthew 1 makes that very clear. And they saw the babe lying in a manger. This babe, who the angel said to Mary that he's going to be called the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God, Son of the Highest. And the angel had told the shepherds, this is a Savior. Christ the Lord, the Messiah. They saw him in the manger, just like the angel told him. Lying in a manger. Child so lowly, King of all, Christ the Lord, lying in a manger. It must have blessed them for them, the shepherds, common people that and not necessarily looked up to, even in the working society of that day. Shepherds weren't necessarily looked up to as something you wanted to be. Here they were the ones that got to see Jesus lying in a manger. What a connection that must have made with them, that Jesus came for them, to the common people. He didn't come in the palace. He wasn't born in the palace. He was born among the lowly. Too simple, quiet. Joseph just seemed like a quiet man to me. Maybe I'm wrong, but he just seemed like a very quiet man. And Mary, she kept things to herself too, didn't she? Verse 19 says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Very quiet. They saw the baby, the Savior of mankind. What did they hear? What did they hear that night in the fields by night? Well, we talked about some of these things already, but they heard the message of the angel. And that message was not just to them, but it was for everyone. And he said, "You fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, to everyone. Good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then he gave them the sign. This is how you'll find him. He's going to be wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Do you think the angel had to say it more than once? I don't think he did. The Bible doesn't say that he did. There was enough of shepherds there that when that whole experience, which just about was more than they could take physically, and they, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. They heard the message of the heavenly host, which was glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And then they heard the voices of their comrades, their fellow shepherds. They heard those voices confirming their own thoughts and words. Remember, they said one to another, let's go to Bethlehem and let's see this thing, which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. That, what was the message? Bethlehem? Is that what he said? Well, yeah, I heard it. That's what he said. Bethlehem, and there's a baby born. What a night of glory. They must have known those Old Testament prophecies to have been in such a hurry as they were. They went with haste. And the other thing that they had heard that night was that haste. They heard those pounding feet. They heard that knocking on doors in Bethlehem. This was in the field where they heard the pounding feet, but in Bethlehem that night, they heard those knocks, the search of Bethlehem. Now, I'm taking this from the word that Luke uses in verse 16. He says there, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph." And that word "found" means discovered, or it has the idea of discovered after a diligent search. It's a different word. It's a different Greek word than is used some other places for this same English word. And so I think from that we can understand that they had to put forth some effort. And there was some knocking on doors that they had to do. And maybe check a couple of places that had mangers. I don't know. I don't know what all, but no doubt they woke some people up that night. And that was part of them spreading the word. Go tell your mother. Go tell your father, your brother, sisters, neighbors, all. What a host of angels. Did they hear anything from Mary and Joseph? Well, no. I don't know what they heard. The Bible doesn't tell us. If Mary and Joseph just heard the shepherd's story and smiled, I don't know. Or maybe they confirmed and said, "Oh, thank you so much for coming and telling us this, because we've had messages from God too that this baby is the Messiah. Thank you so much." I don't know what they said. Did they hear anything from the babe lying in a manger? Any cries? I don't know. All babies cry, don't they? And Jesus was a baby just like little babies that are born today. We don't know. The shepherds heard in Bethlehem, they heard each other telling the story, right? Verse 17, "When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying." They told it far and wide, you could say. They made it known abroad. "They made it known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child." They said, "Yes, go down there for yourself and you can see that baby lying in the manger." And they also must have heard those that wandered. Verse 18. "All they that heard it wondered at those things which were spoken by the shepherds." No doubt there were some people that said, "You fellows are..." You know, they probably didn't believe them. Visions of angels at night in the shepherds' fields? You ever wonder if anyone else in the town saw those angels? You know, why didn't all Bethlehem wake up to this "Glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill to men"? Not sure. We don't know that. But God had given the message to the shepherds and they told it abroad. They spread, they made known abroad the saying concerning this child. And then they went back to the sheepfold, back to the pasture, back to the sheep. But in their hearts, they carried the glory. "We've seen the baby, Savior of mankind." Well, let's think about us today. How can we carry the glory? Today and tomorrow, next week, and all year, 2019, we're at the beginning of the year. How can we carry the glory? These are personal challenges for myself, and I'll just share them with you. I'm going to carry the glory. I'll tell the world that I'm a Christian. Tell the world that I believe that Jesus is my Savior. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. Savior? Why do we need a Savior? We need a Savior. We need a Savior from eternal destruction, from our sin. I need a Savior from sin, from my sin. Now tell the world that I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. I'll follow the Master in the way, like blind Bartimaeus. When he was healed, he followed Jesus in the way. Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. Blind Bartimaeus, he probably didn't know that, but he followed Jesus. Wherever Jesus was going, he followed him in the way. I'm going to carry the glory. I'll bring up my children. Ephesians 6:4 mentions this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's how I'm going to carry the glory this year. I'll bring up my children. Fathers and mothers, you know with me that's full-time job, isn't it? That's a lifelong work. But you know, God doesn't give us to do a year at a time or 10 years at a time. He just gives us the moment. One day, one hour, one moment at a time. We bring them up, nurture and admonition of the Lord. I'm going to carry the glory. I'll be given to hospitality. I've taken some of these from Titus chapter 5 and verse 10. I'll be given to hospitality. Some have entertained angels unawares. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And Romans 12 also mentions that, given to hospitality. Ready to share what I have. And Brother Steve mentioned verse 3 of Hebrews 13, remembering those that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. In some way, to be hospitable. Maybe they're not in bonds in physical prison. Maybe they're bound by Satan, and that touch of love, of hospitality that we can give to that person is what will penetrate into that. We don't know. We don't know what God uses. That was one of the things listed in 1 Timothy 5:10, lodging strangers. I'm going to carry the glory by ministering to the saints. The Bible tells us to do good unto all men, especially unto those who are of the household of faith. That's one phrase that I remember. I think it was my grandpa, Martin. I don't know if he mentioned it in his prayer or if I remember him having a devotions, but I just remember that, him saying that. And I know he must have mentioned it several times, because I always think of him, especially unto those who are of the household of faith, our brethren, those that are Christians, those that are part of the household of faith, part of the Church of Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 6:10. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I'm going to carry the glory by bringing aid to the needy. You can turn with 1 John 3 and verse 17 and 18. 1 John 3:17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Loving in deed and in truth is different than loving in word and in tongue. It's easy to say something, right? It's easy to say. It's easy to talk. Talk is cheap, it's been said. Talk is cheap. But deeds cost more, don't they? They cost something. They require a sacrifice from us. They require us to give up something. Time, money, goods, special times with family, perhaps. There's a lot of things we could put in there. To love in deed and in truth. And James chapter 2, let's turn to that scripture. James chapter 2 and verse 15 and 16. This is in the discussion of that James has, or not the discussion, but he presents to us faith and works. Verse 14 is where he starts to mention that. But then he uses this illustration. Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. In other words, we wish you God's blessing, that may God supply your need. Go in peace. May you have shelter and may you have food to satisfy your needs. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? See, God uses us to supply those needs sometimes. He uses me, or wants to use me, if I'm willing. Bring aid to the needy. You know, sometimes we think about our brotherhood assistance offering. At least, I'm showing my own thoughts here now, but I think about it sometimes. I'm giving to the brotherhood assistance offering, and that goes to the needy. And it does. And I'm thankful for the way that we can work together as a brotherhood to supply the needs. But you know, sometimes there's some needs right in my own congregation that I know about that maybe I should put an envelope in someone's mailbox on Sunday morning with some money in it. I don't have to put my name on it. Just put it in there with their name on it. And you might even write on there what you are giving this for. However the Lord directs you. Or maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's a cousin or an aunt or whoever might be in your family that you know has a need. If God leads you to do that, to minister to them in giving them some brotherhood assistance, do that. Send it to them. And there's other ways to give. Money is not the only way. I mentioned time and food and clothing. Whatever God lays on your heart. Sometimes we call it putting hands into our prayers. God wants us to put our hands into our prayers and relieve the afflicted. The shepherds, they gave up something, right, to go search for the baby. They had to leave their flocks. I don't know how long they left them there, but they left them there for a time. It was they were unattended. Well, I'll bring aid to the needy. I'll carry the glory by doing whatever I find to do with my might. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So we do it the best that we can do it. We do it to what we're able to do. God doesn't ask us to do something that we can't do, that we're not capable of doing, or that we don't have the means to do. He just asks us to do what we can do, the best that we can do, in ministering and in hospitality and bring aid to the needy. And that brings me to the last, which I have it here just simply to sum up, and that is that I'll give my best to the Master, to Jesus. That's how I want to carry the glory this year. Give my best to the Master. And so, back to your flocks, O shepherds. Back to the field and the sky. Back to the lonely watches. Back to the duties of life. Carry the news, O Christian. Carry the glow in your heart. You have found David's town. In the straw have knelt down. You have seen the baby king. You have heard the angels sing. Glory to God. Peace upon earth. Oh, carry the glow in your heart. So let's carry that. Carry the glory. Carry the glow. The joy that Jesus gives us in this year. God bless each of you. Let's kneel for prayer.